And welcome to the show. This is your host, AFP Roving Editor Mark Anderson, and this is the AFP Hour. Welcome. We've been covering a lot of grassroots tyranny lately, and recently we had Jennifer Jones on from Arizona. Of course, that's Portside, Arizona, and we talked about how on June 28th, she had been removed by force by the police from a town council meeting, even though she had spoke about tax policies and meeting protocols during a public meeting, during the public comment part of the meeting, and she hadn't even yet gone over the time limit. Of course, free speech in America depends on where you're standing and how long you talk, along with what you talk about. It's getting very conditional, isn't it? Well, you can speak freely only if you're wearing a pink tutu. I mean, it's really getting out there. And on that very same day, June 28th, that the Arizona lady, who's an alternative journalist, encountered that, Julie Bass of Oak Park, Michigan, and her family were dragged into court by the city's prosecutor to face a misdemeanor charge after she refused to destroy her 5 raised bed gardens and move them into her backyard. And we'll be talking about this Oak Park, Michigan case right after the upcoming break, but it's another classic case of grassroots tyranny, and it's spreading into many more areas of life. It can be where a fence is built with respect to a property line. It can be gardens like this. It can be speech matters at town council meetings, as I just mentioned with Jennifer Jones of Arizona. It can be so many things that I've witnessed over the years when I was in the local news beat before going national with American Free Press. But there's always that common thread that we're realizing very clearly, that local government is not the oasis or redoubt where we can lick our wounds and count on some protection from tyranny on high. You'd like to think we were all in this together and that there would be some solidarity, some unity at the local level. But those that want accountability, those that want transparency, those that want honesty are treated as if they're the unaccountable ones, as if they're the dishonest ones. Everything is just flipped around in this sometimes mad world that we live in. But at any rate, after the break, we'll talk with Julie Bass of Oak Park, Michigan, about this latest example of grassroots tyranny that I cover on this show. Of course, it's not the only theme. Monetary reform and economic recovery is the main thing. Of course, not a dry subject like it may sound. It's actually the most dramatic of all, the most important of all, and that's where most solutions lie, because most controls that lead to encroaching tyranny come starting through the financial realm and then spread out from there through the military and cultural and other aspects of society. Switching gears, there's always the great deal here for American Free Press, only available here on RBN, 18 weeks for $17.76. You got to get the deal, or you're nobody. Ha-ha. At any rate, call 888-699-NEWS to be somebody, 888-699-NEWS, to get AFP for 18 weeks, available only here. And we'll tell you where else to get AFP in some other venues as the show goes along tonight, but we'll be right back after these messages.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
And welcome back to the show. Here on the AFP Hour, my colleague from AFP, Pat Shannon, of course, will do the Tuesday show tomorrow like usual. The show's on Monday through Thursday, 8 to 9 p.m. Central, 9 to 10 Eastern. And now my guest tonight is Julie Bass of Oak Park, Michigan. How you doing, Julie?
Thanks. How are you?
Fine, fine. One of the other writers for the paper sent me the proof one day, and it was the issue of the paper that has our whole body health and preparedness supplement, and that's the edition of AFP dated July 1825, number 2930, one of our double issues coming out of the holiday. And I was interested to see Michigan Homesteader Fights for Rights, that's the headline, and that's how I found out about this, and I'll announce here that I'm intent on covering Julie's court hearing tomorrow in Oak Park Court in the early afternoon in Oak Park, Michigan, unless there's tornadoes or some sort of fall of civilization, I should be there. And we're getting this in, ladies and gentlemen, right before, the night before the court hearing. Some cutting-edge news here. Now, Julie, how long ago did you initially plant this garden, and how long did it take before someone from the local government complained?
We started planting around mid-May, and we got our first warning from the city June 2nd, I believe.
Boy, it didn't take long then.
Not at all. Well, I think I kind of got on the radar screen because I called them before I did it to ask permission, so I think I might have shot myself in the foot there.
Oh, well, nevertheless, it does show that you were conscientious about it, on the other hand.
Yeah, we were really trying. You know, we were trying to do the right thing. We weren't trying to make a big stand or alienate people, but it's turned into a real cause for people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're planting exotic species. Government trade policies can bring the emerald ash borer to eat half of our forests away, and it's okay to bring the Japanese beetle in shipping crates with free trade with China. Oh, sure, all that is okay. And in crops getting destroyed and hardwood trees, no problem there. They're just Q system or just the fiend Q system. Suddenly you're a bad person. And maybe they don't consider you a bad person. I'm using a little theater here. But nevertheless, it does seem rather outlandish that they'd make this much of a stink about a front yard garden. Now, to play the devil's advocate, why didn't it go in your backyard? But I'm only kind of assuming that maybe your backyard isn't sunny enough or maybe not large enough. But why the front yard instead of the back? Not that it should matter.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why it's better in the front than in the back. But when we first started, we weren't actually even looking to put a garden anywhere. We had our front lawn dug up to replace a sewer pipe. And when the plumbers were finished, all the lawn had been dug up, all the bushes, and we were just left with a bunch of dirt. So we sort of had a blank canvas, and what we were trying to do is just figure out what would be a good use of the space. I'm not a big fan of just wasting water on lawns, and I'm definitely not a fan of putting chemicals all over the lawns. So that was that was on the radar screen in any case, and we were just researching different options, and I really, really liked the idea of doing these raised bed vegetable gardens. I thought they would look neat. I thought it would be a good project to do with the kids. I thought it would be a good learning experience. So it wasn't so much that we wanted a garden and we put it in the front, is that we had this space in the front that was like nothing, and we were just trying to figure out a good productive use for that space.
Oh, so it had already been dug up. It became a family thing with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can grow healthy food. Obviously, you know where the food came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like in the free trade era where some of our fruits and vegetables are picked thousands of miles away, underripe, and shipped and stored, and God knows what, en route to our dinner plate. I can see that you're accomplishing a lot in this one action. And the picture I'm looking at doesn't show it to be some, you know, the vast hanging gardens of Babylon. I don't know what would be the problem here. It looks like it's fairly modest, and it looks like it. Does it take up your whole front yard, or am I seeing correctly that it only takes up part of it?
It takes up a little bit over half. The front half of the garden, the front half of the yard, my husband and I compromised. He got to plant grass on the front half so that, you know, from the street as you were driving past or whatever, it would look more like a regular lawn. And then the back half towards the house was mine to put the vegetable beds. I just wanted to tell you also, we have 5 beds altogether, but they're 4 feet by 8 feet. So I know a lot of people have seen the photos, and then they've come over and seen it in person, and they're always shocked that it's so small, and it's not this gigantic, overwhelming thing that's going to, you know, eat the neighborhood. It's pretty modest. It's pretty well contained. It's, you know, 5 beds, and it's not a humongous thing. So people are pretty surprised.
Yeah, my father over in Hartford, Michigan, grows it on the side as well as the back, and the side is visible to from the road to a degree, and certainly to the neighbors to the to the one direction. And so, you know, with the price of food and with the price of gas and people being less likely to drive all around to shop, it just seems like a natural thing to do in the general scheme of things if you have the property to grow your own food so as to save money, get healthier food,
right,
less driving around with expensive gas in order to get food,
mm-hmm,
and so on and so forth right across the board. Now, I see the 5 beds. I see a little over half is used of the front yard, and it looks like you use some sort of mulch and different things to dress it up and keep it neat, and you keep the weeds down or non-existent from what I'm seeing anyway.
Yeah.
And what are you growing there?
We've got a lot of tomatoes. We've got a respectable patch of cucumbers. We've got some zucchini, cabbage, basil. We've got jalapeno peppers, red peppers, green peppers, peas. We have a little bitty herb garden to the side that my daughter is growing. Just your regular run-of-the-mill vegetables, nothing terrifying, nothing outlandish, just good, healthy, nutritious vegetables.
None of these plants that can eat mice or something?
Not as far as I know.
Yeah.
We have lots of children in the neighborhood, and they've all been safe up until this point. So I imagine my plants are, you know, well-raised and happy to be accommodating and not out to get anyone.
Yeah. Now, what is, if there is any logic to it, and finding logic in government is kind of like finding an honest lawyer or a good congressman. If there is one thing the government has said about it that makes any sense, if that's the case, what is it?
Honestly, nothing they've really said makes sense. When I spoke to them, we came away with very different understandings, I think, of what we could do. The city planner couldn't find anything specifically pertaining to vegetables in the front, but he told me that he knew that decorative plantings were allowed, which I took as permission to have decorative plantings, which he took as he told me that I probably shouldn't do it because he couldn't find anything specific about it. They went from there to give me a warning that said no vegetables in front yard space, and to back that up, they said that the zoning ordinance says that all unpaved portions of the site should be covered with grass, shrubbery, or other suitable live plant material. And they brought that in, that, like, that shows vegetables are not allowed. So I had a little back and forth with them that vegetables are certainly live plant material, and I can't imagine any reason why they would be unsuitable. And the city just dug its heels in and, nope, it's unsuitable. Vegetables are not suitable. So kind of like arguing with a stubborn toddler.
So as we reported in our whole body health supplement, a lot revolves around what constitutes suitable.
Right.
I mean, suitable, I heard the government say in a online video, means common or something like that. But I don't know that suitable and common are synonymous.
Yeah, it turns out it's an obsolete definition, and it was very interesting. Within the week after he said that, the number one looked up word on Webster's.com was suitable. And we were getting hundreds of emails giving us the actual definitions. And the city, I think, got thousands of emails from people around the country that said, we cannot find a dictionary that defines suitable as common. What are you trying to say?
Okay, so they're trying to equate those two words. Was inaccurate is what you're telling me.
Right.
Okay, so they can't stand on that very, very firmly. And did I understand you, Julie, that in their zeal to take you to court and make you tear asunder your front yard garden in Oak Park, Michigan, that the local government passed a zoning law or updated one after this began to be an issue, or did I misunderstand?
It's not exactly. They haven't changed any of the zoning. The prosecutor did say that he wanted to review the zoning ordinances to see if there was anything else that could catch us on. That was the implication. He said he wanted to review them, but it left us with the idea that he wanted to see if there was anything else they could get us on. The city council meeting, which was a week ago today, at the city council meeting, someone brought up from the council that from now on they want all landscaping decisions to be run by the council, which is a little crazy because that's not how our city government is structured. And that obviously doesn't have the force of law until there's a public hearing on it and they vote on it, from what I understand. So they've talked about making tighter controls where they can be, you know, like the czars of your front yard, but as of now, it's the same weird zoning language that it's always been, and nothing's really been changed.
Oh, and the reason I asked is because if they're reviewing what's already written to see what they can, quote, get you on, end mm-hmm. quote, that's one thing. But if they begin to modify the law in accordance with what they're seeing in your situation, that would be like an ex post facto law, where they wait for something they don't like and then write a law against it,
right?
You know, that would be some very shaky lawmaking or code making indeed. There's something that's not against the law now, but let's make it against the law because we feel like it, you know.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, well, stick around, ladies and gentlemen, for more from Julie Bass on this controversy in Oak Park, Michigan. We'll be right back after these messages.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty,
light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
And we're continuing our conversation with our guest, Julie Bass from Oak Park, Michigan, on the possibility, certainly we don't want to use the word probability, that she could face fines or possibly even jail time for growing a garden in her front yard in the city of Oak Park, Michigan, which she planted in about mid-May. And it's just five beds with common veggies and one or two herbs, only takes up half the yard. And it's all around what constitutes suitable plant material in the front yard. But the government has a very ill-defined or basically inaccurate definition of the word suitable. So really, it just becomes a very subjective thing, doesn't it, Julie?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, we've driven around just to kind of get a sense of what's going on in the city. And we've seen some hideous landscaping, and we've seen people that have rocks, and they have bricks, and they have different wooden things, but they all have flowers in them, not vegetables. We've seen just all kinds of stuff around the city that the city's never made a peep about, but as soon as we put the vegetable plants in, they just fell off the rockers.
Now, would this, in your opinion, without overstating the case, but we don't want to understate it either, would this case, provided you win the day, and I think the chances are reasonably good you will, would this set a fairly strong precedent legally?
So I need to tell you, they have done a weird kind of sneaky move. They actually dismissed the charges on the garden without prejudice so that they could bring them back if they want, and they instead now are charging us with not having current licenses on two of our dogs at the time of the garden incident. So supposedly tomorrow the court date is on two misdemeanors that our dog licenses weren't current, but they've reserved the right to bring back the garden issue if they want.
Okay, and they could bring back the garden issue as of tomorrow, or would it have to wait?
No, they could bring it whenever they want. When it's dismissed without prejudice, it means that there's no kind of double jeopardy, there's no limitation. It's basically just advise them time without them having to ask for a continuance or ask for a recess or anything. It's a way for the prosecution to step back and try to get their ducks in a row and see what they want to do next, and it just leaves me sort of hanging out there on a hook that, you know, whenever they want to come back at me, they're going to just do it.
But if they dismiss charges without prejudice,
mm-hmm.
once dismissed, on what grounds, and forgive my not top-notch legal knowledge here, but on what grounds can they just bring it back?
I didn't mean to interrupt you. They don't actually need any grounds to bring it back. If it's dismissed without prejudice, that kind of just leaves it hanging out there in the air. So if at some point they feel like they're ready, or they feel like the prosecutors may be more aggressive, or they feel like they have extra time, or they just, on any kind of whim, they're allowed to just go back and refile and have me appear in court again. And it's a way for it to kind of sort of go away and get out of the media spotlight. I know a lot of places reported, charges dropped. And lots of people calling to congratulate me. Oh, it's so great. I heard the charges were dropped. I said, it's not so great. They dismissed without prejudice, and they can just hold it over my head now for as long as they want. So that's where we are with that.
Okay, so essentially it takes some of the drama out of tomorrow, cools off some of the media and public interest,
right,
and allows them to drag it on and throw a few other things at you until they decide what to do.
Right, exactly.
And you're saying that it revolves around, as if you have to talk about a stretch just to get something to take to court. Couple of dogs that had what, outdated tags or what?
They didn't have current licenses. The city has published in its newspaper that when they made the tags mandatory, it was in order to make sure that dogs were up to date on rabies vaccines, which our dogs were. And when they came to do, when they saw after the original warning that we didn't move the garden based on their threats, they then ticketed us for the dogs having not current licenses as well as the garden charge. We fixed it within a week of getting the ticket last time. We went in as soon as we were able and got everything paid, paid late fees, took care of it, showed all that paperwork to the prosecutor when we were in court last time. It turned out that it was the prosecutor's son, so the actual prosecutor claims now that he's never seen the paperwork, which is true because it wasn't him, it was his son, and he needs us to come back in. And so now I'm facing officially two misdemeanors because we have two dogs. So even though they're licensed and they're current and the vaccinations are good and everything's solid, the city wants me to reappear again tomorrow with my lawyer in court.
Okay, so you already took care of the dog thing.
Yep.
So when you go to court tomorrow about the dog licenses being expired, but yet they had their rabies shots, you said,
mm-hmm.
You're going in there with the reality that these things are already taken care of.
Right. They were taken care of June 13th. Our court appearance was June 28th. So we already had all of that taken care of and all of the paperwork, but I wasn't wise enough at that time to say I need documentation that this has been taken care of. You know, now in hindsight, I wish I had gotten something from them at that point in time, but I didn't realize how the sands can shift under your feet. You know, I thought if something's done, it's actually done, but I was a little naive. So officially, the reason they want us back in court is on the dog licenses, but we're about 50-50 that it might actually just be that, or it might be that they're planning something else.
That would include the garden. The more reason for American Free Press to be there. We'll be right back with more on this matter. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with ExtendoVice.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Back to the show. July 25, 2011, we've been talking with Julie Bass about her predicament in Oak Park, Michigan, where she's growing vegetables in 5 raised bed gardens, and that's in her front yard in Oak Park. And she's to appear in court tomorrow, but as she's just informed us, the charges technically against her front yard garden have been dropped without prejudice or dismissed. But that just sort of puts them in limbo. Meanwhile, they're just throwing ridiculous stuff at her about dog licenses that were past due and being renewed. She took care of it all, and yet she's not totally sure what to expect tomorrow in court, in Oak Park Court, and that's at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And if I'm not mistaken, that's, let me see here. 13700 Oak Park Boulevard, that's where the court is, Julie. Are you still with me? Hello? Did I lose the station?
Can you hear me? I'm still here. I'm on the phone if you can hear me. I'm talking to you.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe we had a technical problem, that live radio is fraught with snares and pitfalls.
Yep, no, but, I'm still here, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah, I thought we had a loss of connection. Anyway, is that right, 13700 Oak Park Boulevard, and that's where the court is?
We actually checked on it today, and it turns out that the court part is 13600. The police station is the 137. So it's actually 13600
Oak Park Boulevard.
13600 Oak Park Boulevard, 1 o'clock tomorrow for those who are in the area who might be interested or who might want to read about it or hear about it after the fact. I'll report about it more on this station and in the pages of American Free Press and on our website, AmericanFreePress.net, as soon as possible. There might even be some video footage, who knows. But, okay, so we've learned the situation thus far, and you said that this generated quite a bit of media coverage, and you seem to be saying that that coverage might have inspired in some way this apparent maneuver. I can't say all what was in their minds, but this apparent maneuver to dismiss the front yard garden charges without prejudice, bring up these more, you know, tedious, rather meaningless misdemeanor charges about dog licenses. Are you pretty sure that's true? In other words, was the media coverage pretty heavy, a lot heavier than you expected?
Yeah, it really, after I came back, I mean, I had started the blog already, and I had, you know, some people who were following. When I came back from court on the 26th and said they wanted to bind it over for trial, things started to heat up a little bit on the media. And then when my attorney spoke to the prosecutor and said, come on, you're going to drop this, right? This is like a silly charge. You don't want to prosecute this. And the prosecutor said, oh, no, we're going to prosecute it all the way. Oak Park absolutely does not want this. We're going to take it all the way. And when I put that on the blog, it just exploded and went viral. We have people, we were in the papers, I think, in Australia. We have a whole group of people in New Zealand. We have people in England. We have people all over the United States that were, you know, calling the city council people and sending them email and sending them letters. And I'm absolutely convinced that it's just the outpouring of outrage from people everywhere that caused them to want to, you know, sneak into the shadows a little bit more with this.
You know, it confirms what I've always said, that not only does this kind of viewpoint by government reach down to the grassroots, in this case literally, but solutions also can come from the grassroots, and maybe they ought to oftentimes. We get obsessed with the, you know, highfalutin manipulators of the world, the Bilderberg, the Council on Foreign Relations, that's talked about a lot in this network and in the pages of AFP, and rightly so. But it's amazing, is it not amazing, how unfair and how arbitrary local government can be. As you say, there's all manner of front yard designs as you drive through your area there. Who's to say if a house that's blue with white trim is somehow unacceptable, but one who is white with blue trim is acceptable, just the exact opposite. I mean, unless you live in a neighborhood association where you agree ahead of time to sort of a charter or agreement as to, yes, you can have pets or no, you can't, or some sort of neighborhood rules, unless that's agreed to ahead of time, it just becomes, it seems to me, and I've covered local government for many years, it just becomes a totally subjective judgment on what constitutes acceptable or unacceptable.
Yeah, we were really, really surprised. I mean, we kind of, you know, follow federal politics somewhat, state politics a bit, but the local government just, you know, we're in the Midwest. It seems like it should be kind of friendly, and people in the offices are friendly, and the people at the library are friendly, and everyone says hi, and everyone waves, and, you know, the police drive down the street, and all the kids wave, and the police wave back, and it's got that kind of small-town feel to it. So to have the city go on this crusade against us for something so ridiculous to crusade against, it really blew our minds, and the fervor with which they wanted to prosecute us and call us names and make allegations, it was so shocking and so disconcerting, just to see what kind of power they really do have and what kind of muscle they can try. I mean, one of the news reporters locally asked our attorney why he thought that you don't hear more about these cases. You know, if the city really is on this power trip, why aren't they hearing more? And he said, which I think is true, most people just fold. You know, if the city comes and they give you a ticket and they tell you that they're going to, you know, plow over your yard and charge you for it, and they tell you they're going to throw you in jail, and they tell you you're going to have to pay all kinds of court costs and fines, most people just want to make that go away. And most people in that situation just want to make it stop, so they do whatever the city says and they comply. So, you know, this is one of the few cases where I'm very, very, very lucky to know an attorney who was willing to help us, to have a supportive husband, to have a family who is willing to go through it, to have supportive friends who are willing to help out. You know, I don't think most people are probably in the position where I am, where they really can stand up for themselves. So I'm glad that I'm able to do that, hopefully, and at least inspire some other people and show them that you really can fight the good fight, and it's really, the government's not too big to take on. You know, you really can stand up for the right thing, and hopefully you'll end up being right.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that it's such a wide-ranging interest and coverage. You know, New Zealand, Australia, people in England taking interest. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that kind of solidarity around the world, that kind of reading off the same page effect. Now, do your immediate neighbors on either side, are they neutral, or are they okay with this? Or?
They're okay. One of them, their kids are constantly in the garden, you know, asking questions and wanting to help, and we have a swing out there, and the kids sit on the swing. My across-the-street neighbor who looks directly onto my property loves it. Her husband actually came over last night. He was so excited on Friday. We picked our first zucchini, and we gave one to each of our immediate neighbors. And the husband came over, and he was just, like, glowing. He said, your zucchini was beautiful. I couldn't believe it. It was so amazing. And it came right from this garden that I can see from my window. It was, like, such a life-changing experience to eat food that you actually watched grow, that you knew the plant your food came from. And, you know, he was just so excited. And it's really brought a lot of good stuff into the neighborhood. You know, the neighbors have something to talk about. The kids have something to keep them busy. We have kids who offer, you know, passers-by garden tours. Do you want to see what vegetables they are? They go around, they point out the different vegetables. It's really just been a humongously good thing for our neighborhood, which is all the more reason that we were just shocked and surprised that the city cared so much and that they seemed so invested in making us take it away.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder, and I'll be asking some questions, whether this somehow might represent a fear of a more self-sufficient populace. I know a lot of Detroit neighborhoods and former housing areas have bit the dust. They've met the bulldozer. They've been razed down. I've heard that in the place of where there used to be houses in Detroit, that there are now community gardens being grown in some areas.
Yeah.
And there's even rooftop gardens in big cities. I don't know why the powers that be at whatever level can't just accept the fact that free trade, for one thing, is a total failure, and that the best food is grown locally. The shortest distance between food and dinner plate is best. And, you know, that's not even mentioning GM foods, genetically modified seeds, and all those issues. We won't get into that now in the interest of time and clarity, but, you know, there's a whole movement for self-sufficiency, and I think that the local government needs to understand that, and that it can give youth a better thing to do. Kids can take an interest in these sort of things. Imagine if many households had gardens. Maybe kids would stop watching TV for 5 minutes and get outside, you know,
yep.
Or stop playing on their computers all the time to where they look like they haven't been in the sun in 2 weeks, you know.
Right.
Oh, look, it's Count Dracula. Oh, no, that's my cousin, you know.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of good things can come from people getting together and doing these sort of things. It gets into a lot of areas of, you know, cultural regeneration, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the smallest things can have the greatest good consequences. And so, you know, I really hope the local government sees past, you know, just the need to exercise their authority. Just because a code says something doesn't mean the code was properly conceived or intelligently put together. So who drew up the code? When was it drawn up? And under what premise was it drawn up? Was it done by a private organization? You know, did a bunch of attorneys write up their code and the city just rubber stamp it? I mean, you know, what is this all about? Is it to protect big pharma or big agricultural concerns against the idea of citizens creating a competitive market by growing their own vegetables and feeding their neighbors? So if everybody goes a little bit Amish, the big corporate farms are going to be hurting in a big hurry. And so you wonder what the local government is ultimately protecting.
Yeah, we haven't been able to get a clear answer even on who drafted the ordinance. At first I was told the city attorney, who's different than the city prosecutor. Then at one point someone said it was actually the technical and planning director. Then somebody said that it actually is done by committee. So it's not clear. And it's very interesting, you know, that you mentioned when was the ordinance or what was the ordinance drawn with in mind. I don't know that they really had anything in mind. This whole suitable life plant material is so vague and so open to interpretation. I'm not sure if they even knew specifically what they didn't want. I think they just wanted to be able to retain the power to react to things and, you know, pick and choose what they don't want as it develops and be able to throw it out. So it's been interesting to watch it unfold, how they can stand on this weak wording of the unsuitable live plant material, according to them, and, you know, really try to make a convincing case that what we're doing is anything but suitable live plant material.
Yeah, exactly. If you leave an ordinance or a zoning law open to interpretation, you have problems immediately. The very premise is wrong. In fact, one could argue that the whole context of the whole reason for having laws, or the whole basic way that laws should be written, would be for clarity and for relative simplicity and not an inordinate amount of complexity. In other words, laws should be well-defined, relatively simple, and not too numerous.
Yeah, I mean, our impression always was that the laws were there, hopefully, to protect people, and also that, you know, when we did try to do the right thing and we went out of our way to try to find out what the law was, you know, they didn't even mention this live plant material stuff, but that the laws are drawn in such a way that even the planning director couldn't find anything, and we certainly couldn't find anything, and there's been all kinds of confusion because there are actually, like, three different sections that deal with, you know, front yard landscaping, and one specifically allows vegetable gardens, and one specifically allows planter boxes, and one specifically does something different, and it's just, it's such a crazy maze that they make you run in until I think most people just throw their hands up and say, forget it. So, you know, I think that's another thing that they do just to keep you off your balance, that the laws are not simple, they're not accessible, they're not easy to understand. You can't tell what's allowed and what's not allowed, you know. People don't have the capacity to go out and hire an attorney every time they have a question about what they're allowed to do in their own life. And it just becomes this weird, you know, big brother kind of state where, like, you don't know what you're going to do wrong, but they come down on you if they decide you did something wrong.
Yeah, who noticed the one dog tag being, you know, a little out of date, or anybody can overlook any number of things. Oops, I forgot to put the updated tag on my license plate, or this
right.
or that. Even if you received it, you left it in the glove compartment, you forgot to stick it on there, you've been busy, and it's not like you're trying, it's not like you intend to do something wrong. They don't seem to understand there's absence of malice here.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's no malice on your part. So, I mean, if there's absence of malice, to me, it should be an over and shut case. It's not like you, I mean, you even asked them ahead of time mm-hmm. about the garden. And so, really, it boils down to, you know, the way these things are done and who puts it together. I've seen these things in so many cases. I remember in Three Oaks, Michigan, on the other side of the state, between Grand Rapids and the Indiana line, down in the southwest corner. There was a guy that had a bunch of stuff in his yard that he would resell at swap meets and maybe deal with it at yard sales and different get-togethers, different venues, flea markets, I suppose. And so the stuff in the yard, fairly neatly stacked, maybe not perfect, to him represented currency. It was stuff he could trade for other stuff or for money. But they decided the litter and debris ordinance was more important, and they actually ended up bulldozing this guy's house down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so they destroyed his life. And then I even heard that some of the rural supervisors in this township of Three Oaks might have had their eyes on his land the whole time.
Wow, you know, you hear things like that, and you think that it's some weird isolated incident, and it would never happen to someone you know, and it would never happen in your town, until it does. And then, you know, we're shocked, our neighbors are shocked, our friends are shocked, but it's so sad that it doesn't surprise me what happened to that man, and I feel terrible, and it gives me, like, chills that the government can do things like that. But, you know, that's what happens when people are asleep at the switch, and they just rubber stamp, you know, yes, okay, the government can do whatever it wants, and everything that they want is fine, and, you know, when you're not engaged. You know, a few months ago, if you had asked me, I don't think I would have been particularly engaged. I would have read the story about that man and said, you know, oh, poor guy, what a shame. You know, now, seeing that the government really can do these things, it's not like some weird conspiracy theory. It's actually really happening to people. That's just paradigm shifting and eye-opening and a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah, that of course, that goes along with my observation that in Michigan or any state that has townships, township government is an unnecessary and, in fact, most often abused layer of government, extremely redundant and needless to have. You're not living in a township. This is a city ordinance, mm-hmm. correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's my little side comment, and I often say a township government is totally unnecessary. But we'll be back with some final thoughts from our guest tonight, Julie Bass, and from myself. Stay tuned.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
To the air. I want to note to our listeners in the Midwest that American Free Press just added a newsstand sales point at the Reader's World Bookstore at Marquette Mall, Michigan City, Indiana. That's at 4027 Franklin Street, Reader's World, Majerix Reader's World Bookstore, Marquette Mall, Michigan City, Indiana. You can get American Free Press on the newsstand there, as well as Mac News on North 10th Street in McAllen, Texas, and Brave New Book on Guadalupe Street, right in the home of RBN's area in Austin, Texas, among many other areas that AFP is adding. Also, the Majerix Bookstore, for Midwest listeners, in downtown Niles, Michigan on Main Street in southwest Michigan in Berrien County. Where I'm broadcasting from tonight is the southwest area, and I'm hoping to make it to the east side of the state tomorrow to cover the court hearing of my guest tonight, Julie Bass, and she's going to court initially over her front yard garden. There's been some legal shenanigans going on, so I intend on following up on this. And Julie, that's 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's the, what is that, the district court? Or
yep, it's the 45B district court.
45B district court,
mm-hmm.
13600 Oak Park Boulevard in Oak Park, Michigan, which
yes.
is essentially a Detroit suburb, correct?
Yeah, we're 2 miles north of Detroit.
Okay, okay. And, we wish you the best out there. Certainly
mm-hmm.
a front yard garden with 5 raised beds shouldn't constitute too much of a problem to any threat to humanity.
we hope not.
Yeah, you would think not. But we'll see. This could be a precedent-setting case. Certainly it's gotten wide publicity, as we noted earlier. Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and so on. So it's certainly not lacking any wide interest. There's a very wide interest out there. And just hope the best out there and hang in there, and hopefully it won't last too long and it'll be a favorable outcome.
Thank you. We hope so.
What is your blog, before we get to the end of the show, what is your blog or website?
It's oakparkhatesveggies.wordpress.com.
Oakparkhatesveggies.
Hates, like H-A-T-E-S?
Yes.
Yeah, oakparkhatesveggies.wordpress.com.
Oakparkhatesveggies.wordpress.com. That's a catchy title, to say the least.
Thank you. We've been
criticized
lately that, you know, Oak Park doesn't actually hate vegetables and we're trying to be, you know, histrionic and blow things out of proportion. I really sort of did it tongue-in-cheek, you know, before this became a humongous media thing. It was just a very tongue-in-cheek thing, like, what does the city have against my vegetables? But, yeah, most people like it, but some people have their reservations.
Yeah, you could have called it Oak Park detests salads or something, but then people might not get it.
Right, I could have just said Oak Park hates Julie Bass, and that might have been more accurate.
Yeah. Well, okay. I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And hopefully things will turn out in favor of family gardens, in favor of being self-sufficient, in favor of the neighborhood unity and a better family life that these kind of things can bring. And we'll see everybody next time here on the AFP Hour. Tomorrow night, my colleague Pat Shannon will cover, as usual, on Tuesdays. We'll see you again on Wednesday for an update on this and many other issues. Good night out there.
Ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom?